家影坛, and you're listening to a cell paperclip. Mutations in TET2 gene are prevalent in a broad range of blood cancer. These mutations are associated with changes in DNA methylation as well as disease prognosis, highlighting the impact of the intersection between genetic alterations and epigenetic consequences on cancer progression. Knowing how it works is important, at least in part, because of the potential of harnessing the reversibility of epigenetic changes for treating leukemia. Dr. Yanis Alfentis has made interesting discovery along this line, and he is joining us today to discuss his exciting work. Yanis, thank you very much for joining us. I understand there has been quite some interest in studying the TET family proteins, especially in the leukemia context. So, can you briefly tell us where we were on that front before this current work, for instance? Are there particular reasons to think there are viable therapeutic targets?
Yeah, so the TET enzymes came in the field of leukemia and cancer in general probably around 2010 with the identification of mutations in large fraction of myeloid leukemias and later lymphomas. And that came out from the work of several teams around the world and basically placed TET2 specifically on the forefront. Around that time, Anjana Rao and her group has actually characterized for the first time the function of TET enzymes, and she has shown that they can actually oxidize methyl cytosines on DNA and switch basically methyl cytosines to 5-hydroxy cytosines. And this is basically where we started. From that point on, my lab and a lot of other labs have generated mice that lack TET2. We have shown that the loss of this particular enzyme is actually a driver for myeloid leukemia. And there have been several other studies from that point on the function of TET enzymes and 5-HMC in different kinds of cancer and also in the field of stem cell differentiation, as they have roles in both adult and embryonic stem cells.
I think in this paper, in contrast to what has done before, was specific looking at the knockout, you were basically showing the restoration of the TET2 and how it affects in the leukemia and hematopoietic stem cell context, right? So I'm curious, from your aspect, what are the most exciting findings that comes out of it?
So our paper started actually simply by this idea of what happens when you restore a tumor suppressor. What happens when you restore a tumor suppressor that is silenced or mutated? And we have initially done it genetically in the paper, so we use shRNA mice and we can use these SHs to actually knock down and restore expression of TET2. And what was a big surprise to us that a restoration of TET2 rescued all the stem cell phenotypes. And what I mean by that is a loss of TET2 leads to aberrant self-renewal of adult stem cells, and specifically hematopoietic stem cells. We're able to basically absolutely restore it, and we're also able to restore aberrant functions of leukemic or pre-leukemic stem cells, even if these stem cells express other strong oncogenic drivers like FLT3-ITD, ITD or AML-ITO. And that was definitely a very big surprise for us and proved that levels of TET2 and 5-HMC are basically so important for all of these aberrant functions of stem cells and pre-leukemic stem cells. And of course, and we can discuss about that, vitamin C was a way to pharmacologically restore activity. And obviously for us, that was a very big surprise that actually has therapeutic implications.
Right. So about that, I was going to ask, how do you come about in terms of looking into the connection between vitamin C and this context and sort of even going further to think of vitamin C as a component of potential combinatory therapy? Like where does it come from and how do you get to that point?
So vitamin C, ascorbic acid, is a well-known cofactor for enzymes. Several of them are using iron as cofactor, and several of them have been implicated in regulation of the epigenome, Jumanji protein, TET proteins, etc. And there have been a couple of papers out there by several teams that actually have shown that vitamin C can regulate TET enzymes in different contexts. There was one paper connecting vitamin C and TET activity in embryonic stem cells, and there was a beautiful biochemical study that basically shows that vitamin C can interact with the carboxy terminal domain of the TET enzymes and probably promoting folding or recycling basically of the cofactor iron. So we knew that vitamin C is a cofactor for TETs. So we thought, because in most of cases of leukemia, the mutation happens only in one allele. So these are het patients, heterozygote patients. So we thought, what if we use vitamin C to activate the second allele or also activate the other two TET enzymes that we have in our genome? And this is TET1 and TET3. And this is how we started our study.
I think following that, you're trying to combine the vitamin C treatment with the idea that it's going to affect the outcome of the TET enzyme and then with the PARP inhibitor, at least in leukemia context. So can you elaborate on sort of where you see that synergy comes from and whether you think this is more of a leukemia-specific application or could even be broader? Because I think PARP inhibitor is also used in other contexts in terms of treatment, right?
Yeah, we got into this idea of PARP inhibitors because TETs, as I told you, hydroxylate 5-MCs, they make them 5-SMCs, but through the work of several people, it was shown that they don't stop there. So they generate 4-methyl C, carboxy C, and that leads to eventual demethylation. And 5-FC and carboxy C are basically unstable. They're recognized by the basic excision repair mechanism. And that basically triggers pathways where PARP enzymes are involved. And that's why we actually thought that if we combine a PARP inhibitor with ascorbic acid, vitamin C, these two compounds could actually synergize. And that's what we actually saw in the paper, at least in vitro in several AML human cell lines, and now we actually doing some of these experiments in vivo. We believe that this is not leukemia specific. We believe that wherever you have involvement of TET enzymes, changes in the cycle of methylation or demethylation, and the recruitment of basic excision repair mechanism, and there are several other tumors that have involvement of TET enzymes, including brain tumors. We believe that this combination might also be beneficial, and we are definitely planning to test it, actually.
You mentioned briefly that you are looking on one arm more of the in vivo context and maybe broadening the cancer context to look at in terms of the combinatory approach. I guess I'm just curious, beyond that, sort of what's the overall next step you are taking this? Are you thinking of maybe at some stage foreseeing a clinical trial with a similar approach, or are we there yet? Or if not, like, what would be the critical steps in between?
We are thinking about most of these things that you mentioned. We are starting a clinical trial, and I know that it's not only us. There's probably at least two other centers around the world, including one in Europe, that are starting similar clinical trials with adding vitamin C in already established protocols for both myelodysplastic syndrome and AML, acute myeloid leukemia patients. Both of these diseases are characterized by pretty frequent mutations of TET2. So clinical trial is definitely one thing that we are planning, and we are at the phase of basically planning and putting the trial together. Hopefully we can start accruing patients the beginning of 2018. From more research point of view, some of the things that you mentioned are where we're going. I mean, we are trying to see how we can play with ascorbic acid to maybe generate cofactors that are much more potent in activating TET enzymes. We are running synthetic lethality screens to identify other drugs or genes that can basically cooperate with vitamin C killing acute myeloid leukemia cells. And yeah, so these are some of the directions that we're going after. Clinical trial is the main clinical focus, but I think there's a lot of basic research questions that are still remain open.
That sounds certainly multiple interesting angles to go forward, and we're certainly very interested in hearing what's the follow-up and what comes out of those efforts.
Thank you very much.
Yanis, thanks again, and congratulations on a fascinating study. Dr. Yanis Alfentis studies stem cell regulation and leukemia development at New York University School of Medicine. You can read his paper in the latest issue of Cell and at cell.com. I'm Jia Yintan, and you've been listening to a Cell Paperclip.